Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here. As I said, my presentation is a little bit different in that we're talking about a program and some of the research and advocacy, but it's so wonderful how all these presentations are fitting together. I'll talk a little bit about the funding behind the program as we move forward, but I individually don't have any financial disclosures to make. So basically today I'm going to talk about how we developed, how we recruited for this bipartisan effort, what we did, what worked, what didn't work with the legislators from what they told us with their feedback, and also talking about how we're going to move forward and how we're applying those results. Just to give you a little bit of background, because we all know that context is everything, we wouldn't be able to do this program if we weren't who we are. We are an independent nonprofit organization. We did start originally within the University of South Carolina as a different organization called the South Carolina Public Health Institute, and in 2011 we became the South Carolina Institute of Medicine and Public Health. And our mission is to collectively inform policy to improve health and health care, implicitly, of course, in South Carolina. And we do this by serving as a convener, a neutral convener, around all those public health issues and those important issues, bringing together academia, governmental organizations, nonprofits, consumers, advocacy groups, and everyone in a space where we can really discuss these issues and have that opportunity for open dialogue. And we also help provide that evidence-based information, of course, when legislators or when other people come and have questions. And again, also we need to talk about the context of where we're doing this work, because of course what we do in South Carolina might not be exactly the same as what you might do in Montana or in New York State or something else like that. I was going to describe us as a rural state, but after hearing about the 2 hours to the Walmart and 6 people per square mile, we're rural but not that rural. But often we are the nation's punchline in many cases. John Stewart, you know, has thank you, South Carolina. We're known for hiking governors, not expanding Medicaid, and in some other areas. But it's important to understand that while, you know, you can get these headlines in the national news or on the Daily Show or the Colbert Report, Native Son, we're very proud of him, we have a very dedicated group of people in South Carolina who truly do want to make South Carolina the best place to live, of course, in the country. But we diverge on maybe the best ways to get there and some of the perspectives, but it's important to understand that, you know, when we're talking about the legislature, oh, Medicaid's not expanded or different things, everybody does truly care about South Carolina. So I wanted to say that because, you know, lots of times, you know, people hear South Carolina like, oh, okay, they're just crazy. We might be crazy, but so are y'all. It's just in a different way. And also, just to give you an idea of our legislature, it is a part-time legislature that meets from January to June, and as of November 4th, we have 28 Republicans and 18 Democrats serving in our Senate, and 78 Republicans and 46 Democrats serving in our House, and we have a Republican governor. So you can draw your conclusions as to policy decisions based on that. So getting into the Health Policy Fellows Program specifically. We wanted to develop the Health Policy Fellows Program to be comprehensive, evidence-based information provided in a nonpartisan setting, in a nonpartisan manner, to help our legislators inform those policy decisions leading to those health outcomes. This is incredibly important. I'm preaching to the choir here, but we all know that these are very complex issues, and many legislators and other policymakers are making these decisions without necessarily the depth and breadth of research that we know, the things that we take for granted. I mean, we can talk to legislators and they don't know the difference between Medicare and Medicaid, but they know Medicaid takes a whole lot of the budget, so why are we spending so much money on that? So those types of questions. And also to help assist the legislature in providing those resources, because many times, you know, the information they do get walking down the hall as they're going to a vote may be biased from one perspective or another. And also to really highlight the health implications across all policy decisions. So, yes, we were talking about health in all policies. We did not come in and say, hey, y'all, we're talking about health in all policies, trying to stay away from some of the jargon. So we did do a pilot program. We did our first program in the fall of 2013, and it was open only to members of the General Assembly. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. But as we developed this, we started in 2010. So we had the first offering in 2013. We started 3 years prior thinking about this. We heard about a great program with another public health institute, the Georgia Health Policy Center in our neighboring state of Georgia, that had a fellows program. So we talked to them, we visited them, we learned a whole lot more about this in 2010. It wasn't the time, or it wasn't the time, our state wasn't ready for it. We did do a feasibility study at that time, and talking to legislative leadership and some other leaders, there wasn't really the interest, and quite honestly, our organization wasn't where it needed to be in its organization or development to be that trusted source quite yet. Then in 2010, 2011, we kept working on it. We talked to some of our other sister institutes. The Kansas Health Institute does an amazing job providing information to their legislature, and also the Colorado Health Institute. So all these other organizations were wonderful in providing their insight, their suggestions on how they operated, how they recruit people, what they cover, even different resources and different people that they invite as speakers. And of course, we talked to the legislators themselves. Any basic public health, especially for all the health ed people out there, you need to find out what people want and, are people going to come for this? So we talked to the legislators. Specifically, we also talked to the leaders of the legislature. If the Speaker of the House is going to tell people, oh, don't mess with that, we needed to adjust our strategy. And also I wanted to mention personnel. You need to have someone focused on some of this. We have a great staff at the Institute. We ended up hiring a manager of legislative services right before the program started. We had gone through a longer hiring process, but we did need to allocate staff time to really be able to focus on this and then hire someone specifically to work on the program and also to be that main program manager who, if a legislator wants to talk to someone, if we're opening the door, we need to be available for them at any point in time. So we need someone who that is their job. So that was really important. It takes time, the timing had to be right, but we did a lot of the groundwork before we started this. And we shared that groundwork with the Duke Endowment and also the Sisters of Charity Foundation, and I'd be remiss not to mention that the Sisters of Charity Foundation helped fund that feasibility study because they realized the importance of this vision of this type of project that, and program that we wanted to do. And the Duke Endowment, based on that small, I think it was like $10,000, not a whole lot of money from the Sisters of Charity to start, was significantly impressed or invested to give it a try, and then so the program is jointly funded through the Duke Endowment and the Sisters of Charity Foundation in South Carolina. So how did we get people to come talk to us in talking about these recruitment efforts? We used a multi-pronged approach. First of all, we started out by talking in person with the Senate and the House leadership, with the Speaker Pro Tem and the Speaker of the House. Again, we're going to tell people, no, you don't need to waste your time on that. You need to go do this for me, because in our House, in our legislature, they have a lot of power. We needed their buy-in. So if someone asked them about it, they're like, oh, yeah, they're good people. You need to go do this. So we had that. We also had the personal invitations and outreach from our board and from legislative liaisons. It's important to mention that we have a former governor on our board, a former Democratic governor, actually, on our board, a former ambassador to Canada, the current chairman of the Senate's Ways and Means Committee. So these were peers reaching out to peers, saying, listen, I'm on the board of this organization, we're doing this offering, please come. It was that personal, individualized touch from peers that they're used to hearing from. If I had just sent them an email, hey, my name is Dr. Wise, I work for this great nonprofit, will you please come to our program, that would not have been effective. We also did develop some marketing materials. I have some samples. We had a little brochure that we shared with people. We put some stuff on our website, and also right here, we had a save the date card that as people we knew who were hoping to support this saw other people, they could hand them that. We also did target our invitations to those legislators who had a history of interest in health and health issues. Also, we worked really hard to have broad-based Republican and Democratic participation. Committee head, some of those other people are who we really targeted with those invitations. So in developing the curriculum, I guess I should put this up here, but it is offered in three sessions. We did three one-day sessions over a period of 3 months. And by day, I mean starting, having breakfast there and starting around 10 and getting off around 3, because we did have people coming in from all over the state. We did this in the fall. Legislature was not in session. That was key. So people were coming in from all over the state for this. And we were highlighting the importance of health in our policies, of course, and also a systems-based approach. And we talked about these, you can see the session titles. The first session, we really outlined the challenges in South Carolina. What is the health status? What's going on? We're really talking about kind of a health 101 of what's going on in our state. and talking about the human and financial burdens, because money talks. Money talks everywhere, especially in the legislature, but in those burdens within South Carolina. But we also were sure to share some of the solutions, some of the really good things in South Carolina that are going on that maybe don't always get the national news, but they are going on, they are making a difference, and we wanted them to be aware of those. And the feedback we received after this session is that the legislatures really did have a better understanding of public health and that link to healthcare. I know it sounds simple to us, but this was a big deal in this room for this. And also the idea of health in our policies, the fact that, you know, when they're talking about education over here for this education debate, that's affecting health. Again, something we all take for granted, but something that really we saw some of the light bulbs go on and the cross-party affiliation discussions, I guess, would be the best way to talk, say that. And the importance of prevention. That was big. We really saw people like, wow, you're right. You can save a lot of money that way. So we were really happy about that. The second one, we really talked about delivery and who pays for it. Where's the money coming from? And also some of the challenges with that. And also the feedback is that they really understood much more about the significance of a value-based reimbursement model and capitation and some of the other things going. They started to understand it a little more. Of course, we didn't get too far into this, but they understood the main concepts. And also, they started talking about coordinating plans around a lot of agencies. So, you know, they looked at HHS budget, Medicaid budget, Department of Health budget. Okay, that's separate. You have your DOTA's, your alcohol and other drugs agency budget. You know, all separately, they're like, oh, wait. If they're working together or maybe something more holistic. So we started to get those discussions. And then also just moving forward, what is it that they can do? And it really was a facilitated discussion, but a way to talk in a non-political environment with their peers. And it's important also to note, this was their peers and our staff and our speakers. We were very careful about who was in the room because we wanted that legislator who might need to say, what's the difference between Medicare and Medicaid, to say that without that being the headline on the newspaper. You know, so-and-so doesn't know what this is. You know, it was very important that it was a safe environment to talk. So how did we do all this? What methods did we use? We did bring in some national experts, actually, from Alabama. Don Williamson came in. It was a big hit. Also, South Carolina experts, of course, the heads of our state agencies came and talked. We had panel discussions, so that actually really wasn't very popular in the feedbacks because it was a panel discussion of some of our local folks doing these great successes. We really thought that would be awesome. It was awesome, but it really didn't get the highest scores on what people thought was the most effective. And then, of course, the facilitated discussions for the room. You got to give legislators a chance to talk. It doesn't matter what kind of system or, you know, where you are. You got to give them an opportunity to talk. You know, we used slides. We also had binders of extra reading for if they wanted to learn more. Because, again, we had to kind of say at a 101 highlight, you know, your three or five things that you want them to take from the entire day and where they can get more information. The Escape Fire DVD that CNN had done, and also the Conversational Capacity book. And also we provided them with one of our publications, The Pocket Guide to Healthcare Terms, which very conveniently fits in a suit pocket. And it does say what Medicaid is and what Medicare is and what the ACA, if they don't know what that acronym is, but I assure you they do know that one, but some of the others for that. And so we did have our first inaugural class of 11 graduates, 6 Democrats and 5 Republicans, which we are very proud about. That's about as 50-50 as you can get, and you also saw the how our legislature is established 2 senators and, 2 senators and 9 representatives. So we're really happy with that. Something else that we did after the graduation is we had this big, really nice formal reception, Capital City Club. That's actually where we held all the sessions. That's at the top of one of the taller buildings in Columbia, South Carolina. It's across the street from the State House, literally. So very easy for them to get to. We also had these certificates for them to receive, framed nicely because we wanted them to get it, be proud of it, and hang it on their wall so all their friends could see, and also so that as they're working, they can see it and be reminded of us. And down there on the left, that's Representative Gilda Cobb-Hunter and Representative Ryle. Gilda is amazing, long-term representative, definitely social worker from the central part of our state. She gets it. I have a quote from her later. But Representative Ryle was a someone who had been newly elected on a Tea Party wave. And they're here at the reception with their arms around each other and talking. They didn't always agree in their discussions, but they talked to each other, which they can't always happen in the halls of the State House where if you're talking to the wrong person, they don't know what you're doing. So we did do evaluation. We had feedback forms at the sessions. I don't know how y'all's legislators are, but we tried the email follow-up too. You need to catch them before they leave so they can write it down, because otherwise they're losing that email. So we talk about digital and all those wonderful things that we can do. We need a pencil and paper for this. So we did do kind of a gut check after each session about the most significant insights, what they want to hear more about, less about, the learning environment, you know, some of your basics for that, any additional comments. And then also Virgie, our legislative manager, was able to have check-in conversations. She had worked under the Governor Hodges administration and had been a legislative staffer for years previously, so she knew a lot of these people, or her reputation had preceded her, so she had that in. And let me tell you, they have absolutely no problem just coming up and telling you what they liked or didn't like. So some of them maybe didn't leave feedback forms, but believe me, they left feedback. We also did more of a comprehensive evaluation. We did have paper and online forms. We did some follow-up conversations. Logistics, learn more or less about, you know, all that kind of things. But I'm running a little shorter on time, so let me move into what we learned. The devil is in the details, right? Don't do it in election years. They were very clear on this. We kind of floated trying to do it this year anyway. No, that didn't work. We are doing a session, but not with legislators, and that actually worked out well because our speaker was indicted on corruption charges and recently was removed from power, so everyone was talking about that in new committee assignment. Fall months definitely being preferred, and also stay in Columbia. They wanted the centralized location because we did ask about moving around the state. And also, they really prefer the national experts and the agency heads with a chance to be able to talk with them one-on-one versus in a committee-type format. Again, they weren't as interested in some of the local, and we really worked hard to bring in people who were local to their own places. So that really surprised us. That surprised us quite a bit. The big picture, that the recognition and appreciation that this is the first time something like this has happened, for them to have that neutral forum to review the data that they could trust and just take some time to learn, besides being on, you know, on camera with the video streaming and being recorded by ETV during a committee meeting. Also, a very, very strong desire to do something with what they learned. They jumped so far ahead at the end than we thought, because, you know, we're having these discussions at the end. They're like, well, what are we going to do? What policy are we coming up with out of here? So they wanted more guidance on what to do, which poses a challenge for us because we're a convener, we're a provider, we can definitely help them, but we're not going to say, okay, y'all did this, now let us tell you what INTH thinks you could do. No, but we are working on ways to help maybe facilitate for them to be able to work together to do that, and having maybe more time for them to, as a group, to talk about specific things that they can do around that. Just a quote from Representative Cobb Hunter that she really thought it was a valuable experience and recommends it to her colleagues. And also from Mike Ryle, he was the newbie, the Tea Party person, but really bringing in that opportunity to form the relationships. I think that's very, very key. And also some of the industry professionals that we brought in so they can start to tackle all of these challenges. We also, the Duke Endowment wrote a post for the Health Affairs Grant March blog. We were very excited about that, as you can imagine. So moving forward, there is that challenge to maintain the enthusiasm that, yes, we're really learning, this is great. Okay, now we're all going home, and oh, look, Speaker's been indicted. Who's going to be in power now, and how do I keep my committee seat? With that, and also the willingness to invest that time while evolving the curriculum to meet the needs of what they've asked for. So the next offering, we've altered it a little bit. Remember election year? We're having on December 9th, it's a one-day session, and it's for the legislative staffers because, as my colleague from Montana mentioned, sometimes that's really how you get things done. So we're having one for staffers, and they're coming from all the committees, not just the health committee or the budget committee. So we're really, really excited about that. And that's my contact information, and I'll be here afterwards. I'll have my business cards with me and stuff. So thank you very much.